Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to the deep dive. We're about to go, well, deep on a topic that's really fundamental to how you feel day to day. Testosterone blood testing.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken the source material you shared with us. It's a guide focused specifically on getting a testosterone blood test right there in Ormskirk. And we're going to pull out the most important bits for you.
Sounds good.
Our mission is, well, pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
We want to understand exactly what this test is, why it matters for, you know, lots of different people, how the guide says you should prepare, what the results actually tell you, and yeah, where in Ormskirk you can supposedly get this done.
Right.
Think of this as your sort of focused look at this really crucial health check.
And it's fascinating, isn't it, when you look at the material, how much insight just one simple blood test can give you into your whole hormonal picture.
Totally.
At its core, a testosterone blood test is, well, it's just a medical check. It measures the level of this hormone testosterone that's circulating in your blood.
Simple enough.
And testosterone itself, it's incredibly vital. Okay, so it's mostly made in the tests for men, ovaries for women, but its effects are, well, system-wide.
Right. It's not just one thing.
Not at all. It's key for regulating loads of functions, muscle mass, bone density, even just your general energy levels and mood. So the test is mainly about diagnosing potential imbalances.
Too little or too much?
Exactly. Deficiency or excess.
Okay. And you mentioned it's not just about getting a number back. This test, it's really a tool for identifying specific conditions.
Precisely. The guide mentions hypogonadism, which, yeah, sounds technical, but just means your body isn't making enough testosterone.
Uh-huh.
And other hormonal disorders, too, that can really kind of throw your system out of whack and impact your quality of life quite significantly.
So it helps the doctor quantify things.
Yes. Quantify levels, assess the symptoms you're describing more accurately, and then figure out, you know, what the best next steps might be. Interventions, treatments, that sort of thing.
Which leads us straight into why the guide really hammers home the importance of regular testing, especially, it seems, for men over 30.
Yes, that's highlighted. Because these fluctuations in testosterone, they aren't minor things. They can have some pretty serious consequences.
Absolutely. We saw from the material, imbalances can show up as, like, chronic fatigue, feeling really down or depressed, or maybe a noticeable drop in libido.
Mm-hmm. Things that really affect daily life.
Definitely. And relationships, too. So the guide says regular testing helps you monitor these levels over time.
Exactly. It's essential if you're managing something like hypogonadism. It gives you that baseline, lets you track changes, maybe see how lifestyle adjustments or treatments are working.
And it's not just for men, right? The guide mentioned women, too.
Oh, absolutely crucial for women as well. Maintaining hormonal balance is vital for everyone.
Yeah.
Issues like irregular periods or fertility problems can often track back to abnormal testosterone levels.
So understanding those numbers is a key piece of the puzzle for reproductive health.
A very important piece. It helps pinpoint the root cause.
So getting tested, it's kind of empowering then. It's not just waiting for something to go wrong.
That's exactly the message. It's about proactive health management. Catching potential issues early, maybe before they get worse.
And it gives doctors better info for making decisions.
Much more informed, tailored decisions based on your specific hormonal situation.
Okay, so that begs the question, who should really be thinking about getting this test done? The material outlines some key groups.
It did. So prime candidates, according to the guide.
Right. If you're a man and you're having those symptoms we keep mentioning, like that fatigue that just won't quit, maybe low sex drive, or noticing muscle loss you can't explain.
Then yes, the guide suggests you're a prime candidate. Those symptoms could definitely flag up an underlying imbalance worth checking out.
And for women.
For women, if you're dealing with irregular cycles or maybe fertility challenges, checking testosterone is highlighted as an important diagnostic step.
Because those imbalances can really impact reproductive health.
Significantly, yes. So understanding your levels is vital for getting the right kind of support.
So the bottom line from the guide seems to be, if you've got symptoms that make you think hormones might be playing a part, or even if you just have general concerns about your hormonal health,
then getting a test is presented as a really sensible, proactive thing to do.
Got it. Okay, let's talk preparation, because the guide really stresses that getting this right is essential for accurate results.
Absolutely essential. You don't want skewed numbers.
Yeah. So preparation is key. And the big one mentioned is fasting, right? For 8 to 12 hours before the test.
That's critical. No food, no drinks, except water.
Why is that so important?
Well, hormones, including testosterone, they can fluctuate naturally during the day. And even eating can temporarily affect different metabolic markers. Fasting just helps create a stable baseline state, gives you the most reliable reading.
Makes sense. What else? Medications?
Yes, definitely tell your provider about everything you're taking. Certain drug steroids are an obvious one, but also some hormone therapies can influence your levels quite a bit.
So they might give you specific advice.
They might. They could suggest timing the test differently or maybe even pausing a medication for a short while, but only if it's appropriate and safe. They need that info to interpret the results correctly.
And should you mention other stuff, like if you've been really stressed or changed your diet?
Good point. Yes, mentioning any big recent health changes or lifestyle shifts is really helpful context for your doctor when they look at your results, helps them understand potential influencing factors.
Okay, practicalities. If you're actually in Ormskirk and need this test, the guide mentions some local options.
It does. Several reputable places. Ormskirk District General Hospital is mentioned as offering comprehensive services, including hormone testing.
Right, the hospital. Any others?
Yeah, it also talks about local clinics. It says many offer efficient care. Some might even have walk-in services, which is handy.
So check ahead, basically.
Definitely. The advice is practical. Call them up, check their website for hours, appointments, walk-in policies, and your GP, of course, is always a good starting point for recommendations.
The guide also brought up private testing services in Ormskirk. What's the deal there?
Yeah, that's another route. The potential advantages highlighted are often a more personalized feel, maybe quicker results, and definitely more flexible appointment times.
Which could be good if you have a really busy schedule.
Exactly. Or if the topics feel sensitive, that added privacy and comfort can be appealing.
But there was a warning too, wasn't there?
A very important one. Do your homework, research the private clinic, look for reviews before you choose, make sure they're reputable.
Good advice. And what about just going through your GP using a referral?
That's often a really effective way. Your GP is like the gateway. If you talk openly with them about symptoms, they can sort out the necessary paperwork, point you in the right direction, hospital, clinic, lab, whatever.
And they help afterwards too.
Crucially, yes, they're essential for helping you understand the results and guiding you on what comes next, whether it's more tests or treatment. That open communication with your GP is stressed repeatedly in the guide.
Okay, so you've prepared, you've found a place, you show up. What actually happens during the test itself? Is it a big deal?
Generally, no, not at all. It's very straightforward. Just a simple blood draw, really, like any other standard blood test you might have had.
Okay, so needle in the arm.
Typically, yeah. From a vein in your arm, using a sterile needle. It's quick, very manageable. You might feel a brief pinch, like a little sting, when the needle goes in, but honestly, the discomfort is minimal and it's over fast.
And then they just put a plaster on it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
After they've collected the sample, they'll take the needle out, apply a small bandage or cotton ball with tape.
And then you're good to go.
Usually, yeah. The guide says you can typically resume normal activities straight away and results. Usually back in a few days.
And what about afterwards? Any special care needed for where they took the blood?
It's pretty basic stuff, but good to follow for smooth recovery.
Like what?
Well, right after the draw, just putting a bit of gentle pressure on the spot helps stop any tiny bit of bleeding and can reduce bruising.
Is bruising normal?
A little bit of slight bruising or tenderness around the site is quite normal, yeah. Usually just for a day or two, and it should clear up quickly on its own.
Anything to avoid?
Main thing is to keep the area clean. Try not to touch it or irritate it for, say, the first 24 hours. Just helps prevent any small chance of infection.
If something seems wrong, like it keeps bleeding or it gets really swollen.
Definitely contact your provider right away if you notice anything unusual. Prolonged bleeding, excessive swelling, or any signs of infection, redness, warmth. Plus, get in touch.
Okay, and otherwise.
Just general care, really. Take it easy, maybe drink some water. Probably best to skip any really heavy lifting or strenuous exercise for the rest of that day.
Right now, the big part, understanding the results. This is where it gets really important for understanding your hormonal health, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is where the information becomes action. The results usually come back reported in nanograms per deciliter. That's NGHDL.
And there are normal ranges.
Yes, the lab report will show reference ranges. But, and this is key, these normal ranges can vary quite a bit. Depends on your age and crucially whether you're male or female.
What are the typical ranges mentioned?
For adult men, the guide often cites something like 300 to 1,000 NGDL as a general range. For women, levels are naturally much lower, maybe typically between 15 and 70 NGDL.
But you're saying just being in range isn't the whole story?
Not at all. Interpretation is much more nuanced. It's about understanding what your specific number means in the context of your symptoms, your health history, your lifestyle.
Oh, okay. So the lab ranges are just a guidepost.
Exactly. That's precisely why talking it through with your healthcare provider is absolutely vital. They have the full picture. They can interpret what your specific level means for you.
And if your levels are outside the typical range,
then they're the ones to recommend the right next steps. Maybe more tests are needed to find out why. Or maybe it points towards treatment options, lifestyle changes, medication, perhaps hormone therapy. That proactive understanding, guided by your doctor, is what leads to getting the right help quickly.
So let's dig into that. What might low or high levels actually signal about your health?
Okay, so low levels, as the guide points out, might indicate that condition we mentioned, hypogonadism. Body's just not making enough testosterone.
And the symptoms are that fatigue, depression, low libido.
Often, yes. Those are common ones.
But high levels can also be a problem. It's not just more is better.
Definitely not. Elevated levels can also flag up underlying issues. The guide highlights, for instance, that in women, PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, is often linked with higher testosterone. That can cause irregular periods, fertility issues.
And in general, very high levels can cause other problems.
In some cases, yes. Excessively high levels in anyone could potentially contribute to things like polycythemia. That's where your blood gets thicker, raising clot risk. Increased cardiovascular risk is sometimes mentioned too. And even things like mood swings or more aggression.
Wow. Okay, so balance is key.
Balance is absolutely key. And it's important to remember, as the material implies, these levels don't change in isolation.
Mm.
Fluctuations can come from lots of things, your lifestyle, stress levels, your overall health.
Which again highlights why talking to your doctor after the test is so important.
It's the crucial step. They can discuss all the implications of your results, figure out if more tests are needed, and suggest interventions tailored specifically to you.
The material also touched on some of those influencing factors more directly, didn't it? Things that can push levels up or down.
It did. Lifestyle choices are presented as really significant. Diet and exercise play critical roles. Well, a balanced, nutritious diet generally supports good hormonal balance. And regular exercise, especially things like strength training, can actually help boost testosterone levels naturally.
Interesting. What about stress?
Stress is a big one highlighted. Chronic stress pumps out cortisol, the stress hormone. And persistently high cortisol can actually suppress testosterone production. Understanding that link is important.
So managing stress could potentially help testosterone levels.
It's certainly part of the bigger picture for hormonal health, yes.
And medications. We mentioned them in preparation.
Right. The guide reiterates that certain meds, again, steroids, maybe some antidepressants, can affect production. So you and your doctor need to factor in these external influences when looking at your results.
Okay, so beyond just finding problems, the guide talked about broader benefits of regular testing. It's not just about reacting to symptoms.
Exactly. It's proactive. One major benefit is better monitoring of existing conditions. If you already know you have an imbalance, like an endocrine disorder or hypogonadism.
Testing helps track it.
Yes. Regular testing lets you and your doctor track the fluctuations over time. That allows for fine-tuning treatment plans. And for conditions like hypogonadism, it's vital for preventing potential long-term issues like osteoporosis or heart problems linked to chronically low testosterone.
It's also framed as a preventative measure, generally.
A powerful one. By catching low or high levels early, maybe even before you have obvious symptoms, you can proactively reduce future health risks.
Like what kind of risks?
Well, the material suggests that untreated imbalances might contribute down the road to chronic conditions like obesity, type 2 diabetes, even cardiovascular disease. So early detection lets you take steps.
Makes sense. And then there's the quality of life aspect.
Which is huge, right? Getting hormone levels into an appropriate range can make a massive difference to how you feel day to day. More energy, better mood, improved concentration, just a more positive outlook.
And specific benefits for men and women.
For men, optimal levels often translate to better libido, sexual function. For women, it can mean more regular cycles, improved fertility prospects. The whole point of tailored recommendations after testing is to restore that balance and help you feel your best.
Guide also mentioned physical performance. You said it's not just for athletes, but athletes do benefit.
Correct. That myth that it's only for athletes is wrong. But yes, athletes certainly can benefit from monitoring their levels.
Why is that?
Because testosterone is crucial for muscle protein synthesis. That's muscle growth and repair. So understanding their levels helps athletes make smarter choices about training intensity, recovery, nutrition.
To support their body's ability to perform and recover.
Exactly. And it can even play a role in mental focus and motivation for training. So for athletes, it allows for a more strategic, tailored approach to hitting their goals.
Okay, this seems like a good point to tackle some of those common myths the guide aimed to dispel. Let's bust a few.
Let's do it. Myth number one you often hear. Only men need testosterone testing.
Right. And the guide says?
Total myth. It makes it crystal clear. Both men and women can have imbalances that cause problems. We've talked about PCOS and irregular cycles in women, plus shared symptoms like fatigue affect everyone. Hormonal health is definitely a shared concern.
Okay. Myth number two. High testosterone is always good. More is better.
Also false, as we discussed. Healthy range is good, yes. But excessively high levels can cause real complications, that blood thickening, potential heart risks, mood issues. Balance is the goal, not just high numbers.
Myth number three, getting the test hurts a lot. It's really invasive. People might worry about that.
Understandable worry, but the guide is reassuring. It's usually just a simple blood draw, standard procedure. Yes, a quick pinch, but minimal discomfort, done quickly by professionals. Not invasive in the way people might imagine.
Good to know. And myth four, testing is only for athletes trying to get an edge.
Again, simply not the case. While athletes can use the info, hormonal health affects everyone. Those symptoms, fatigue, mood changes, sexual health issues, they cut across all demographics, not just the super sporty.
Okay, great job busting those. So if we were to quickly boil down the absolute key takeaways from this deep dive based on that Ormskirk guide.
Let's try. Okay, first, the test measures your testosterone level, helps spot imbalances.
Who should think about it?
Anyone with symptoms like low libido, fatigue, especially men, or irregular cycles, fertility issues, especially women, or general hormonal concerns.
Preparation.
Key. Fast for 8 to 12 hours. Tell your doctor all your meds.
What might low levels mean?
Could indicate hypergonadism, among other things.
Where to get tested in Ormskirk?
The guide mentions the District General Hospital, local clinics, private options, or via GP referral.
How are results interpreted?
You get a number, NGDL, and ranges, but crucially, you need your doctor to interpret it in your context.
Major benefits.
Better monitoring of existing conditions, prevention of future issues, improved quality of life, and potentially optimizing physical performance.
And women benefit too.
Absolutely. Frequency depends on individual health. Risks are minimal bit of discomfort, tiny chance of bruising or infection.
Perfect. Summary. It really shows how understanding your testosterone levels, like getting a test in Ormskirk, as the guide describes, can be such an important step in managing your overall health.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a final thought for you, the listener, to maybe chew on after hearing all this. How does a huge impact of just one hormone like testosterone affecting energy, mood, muscle, bones, so much, really drive home how interconnected everything in our body is?
Interesting point.
And maybe how important is it sometimes to, you know, look under the hood with tests like this, even if we just feel a bit off rather than actually sick?
Mm-hmm.
Or thinking about those myths, how often do we maybe make assumptions about our health based on incomplete info?
Yeah.
And how can taking informed action, like getting a test, if it seems relevant, challenge those assumptions and give us a clearer picture?
Definitely food for thought. Whatever conclusion you draw, though, the most valuable next step is probably taking what you've learned today and just having an open chat with your own healthcare provider.
Right. Talk about your symptoms, your concerns, and see if a testosterone test makes sense for your specific health journey. The other ones can really help you navigate it.